We are very lucky this evening because I was expecting to interview Stephen Maguire by phone this evening, and he's popped by to say hi. Hi, Stephen. Thanks for coming in to us on Near FM and the Arts Show.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. I started to cry at your play last week at Knowle in the beautiful Swords Castle. Wow, Steve. Amazing.
Thanks.
So thought-provoking. And you're a very young playwright, and I think you opened up lots of barrels for people.
Ah, yeah.
And you also made your subject matter very, very, very funny. So I wanted to ask you about how it evolved, because you did you were in the Smock Alley Theatre. Maybe tell us a tiny bit about that, because Maura interviewed you regarding that in February, and how it evolved to Swords and going forward.
That's right, yeah. We were in Smock Alley Theatre in February for the Seen and Heard Festival, which is a festival aimed towards works in progress. And initially, a year before that, I had it out in Swords in the Lord Mayor's as a rehearsed reading. Two actors on stage, just going back and forth. Then we developed it, applied for Seen and Heard. They took us on, and we sold out both nights we had it in Smock Alley.
I couldn't go.
It was a bit of a surprise. I had family members who couldn't even go.
It was wonderful.
There was a standby list.
Yeah, I know. And yeah, we got such good feedback, and I developed the script further and further, and then we just booked Swords and we went, and then we sold out three nights in Swords, which is kind of, again, a bit of a shock. And people were coming up to us after and opening up, talking about their struggles with their own mental health and maybe their mother or father who's experienced something, which for me was, I felt like I was so taken back by that, and I was like, whoa, this is really affecting people. And
yeah,
it just made me so grateful, the fact that I could put it on, to hopefully some people might gain some courage to seek further advice or something from seeing my play. And people have told me they have, so yeah, I'm a bit shocked.
I'd say it's a little bit overwhelming maybe, but you deserve it, you know. You
really do. Thanks very much.
So it's going to be on the Sean O'Casey Theatre. When is that?
That's right, it's on in the Sean O'Casey Theatre in East Wall on the 18th and 19th of July.
Okay.
At 8 o'clock. So that's when it'll be kicking off there. So it's we've two nights, Wednesday and Thursday.
And you can get tickets to that.
You can indeed. You can get tickets online. You can get them on my Instagram is The Dublin Writer, and it's the link in my Instagram there.
The Dublin Writer.
Yeah, at The Dublin Writer.
At The Dublin Writer, yeah. Okay. And then if you're bringing it to the Galway Fringe Festival.
That's right, yeah. Then we
congratulations.
Thanks very much. Thank you. We head down to Galway on the 26th of July, and we're three nights there in the Columban Hall, which is an old church, and we kind of are starting to build a reputation because Smock Alley Boys School is kind of looks a bit like it's a bit churchy. Swords Castle Chapel.
Performed there, yeah. It's
and
amazing.
Now we are going to another church in Galway, so it's yeah. And I would say that they're shaking in heaven if they're listening to this play. It's a church, you know,
keeping the churches open.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
getting people on seats, you know.
Yeah.
In the pews. That's great.
Yeah.
So in order for you to have been accepted in the Sound and Vision, Stephen, you must have you have to reach a certain criteria. They don't accept everybody's work, so they must have really liked your work.
Yeah, I just kind of just sent it off and hoped for the best, and that was it, yeah.
Which leads me to my next question. And have you been writing for a long time? Did you start when you were very young, or is this a recent thing? I know you're an actor as well.
Yeah, I've always been scribbling, just like writing little bits and bobs and little kind of funny sketches when I was a kid, but nothing really. But I started to write, I was in an acting class, and my acting teacher, she actually cursed me for I kind of cheated in an exercise because I'd done the course before, and she was so upset with me, and it triggered something, and I went home and I just wrote this kind of like back and forth thing, and I brought it into class next day and had actors going on with it, and I started to work and I started to just start writing stuff and slowly but surely developing like dialogues between people. Then I wrote my first monologue called Gansey, which is just about an old man in the pub drinking, getting drunk, regretting stuff and all, and that was shown in town, and that kind of struck a nerve for a few people. And then,
how old were you when that went on?
Well, I'm 26 now, so I must have been 24. 24, yeah. I started writing probably like 2015, 2016, yeah.
Okay, and you suggest it's a pen and paper. You don't need to go online or anything. I mean, you don't have to sit at a computer or iPad.
Everybody's different. Like, you can download the best technology. You can have a laptop. You can. For me personally, I just go with pen and paper for the moment, and then I transfer it to laptop. But I have a typewriter as well. I use. I wrote a few monologues on a typewriter.
Is it an electric typewriter or
no,
a basic manual?
It's manual.
Oh
yeah.
Wow!
Yeah, my
thinking
girlfriend
of Jack
got it for
Nicholson.
Me for Christmas 2 years. I think it was 2 years ago.
The Shining.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I haven't got that bad yet now.
But that that's brilliant. And so Noel, the idea for Noel, you were inspired, what inspired you for that? Was it someone in particular or?
I was in work and I was getting a roll at a desk and I was just ordering it like a breakfast roll or something, and I thought to myself, this girl, I've never seen her before, and I was thinking, oh, she must be in college and just, you know, doing sociable hours of this job. And then it just came to me, the first line of the play is, new job, happy days, and the hours unsociable. Then I start writing it and I was like, then I realised, like, it's developing kind of that. It's about anxiety and, you know, and I noticed the girl was quite anxious when she was, like, serving. And then I just kind of took it from there. But then I realised, right, I'm onto something here. I started off with just a back and forth dialogue and I thought that was just one scene. Then I started to look around me and every day, and, like, people in my life, people in my family, my friends, they're, like, anxious. And then I realised I'm anxious too, and we're all suffering from some sort of anxiety, whether it's even the self-critic in the mind doubting you, don't do that, I do that, you're great, you can do that, do you know what, you need to stop doing that. And it kind of kicked off from there, and it was just, it was funny because I had to keep going back and forth to the script. And when I was really just like rewriting it, because you write your first draft and you're like, yeah, I'm done, I'm a writer, this is my play, and then you read over and you're like, Jesus, I need to edit that. And that made me so anxious. I was starting to, like, I couldn't look at the script, I couldn't talk about the play. I had actors who were working on the play. I had Brian Moore, Eamon McNicholas and Niamh Sweeney, who are the actors in the play, coming back and forth, what's the story, how are you getting on? And I was kind of saying to myself, jeez, I wish they'd stop. Then I was like, hang on a minute, no, get cracking, because it's important.
Do you think that's a confidence thing, or is it an overthinking thing, or is it a combination of all kinds of things?
I think it's a human condition, to be honest, Rebecca.
I think it is.
Just, yeah. We all have that self-critic, that self-doubt, and we beat ourselves up till we're black and blue, and then we put the arnica on ourselves as well, you know. And
I remember one of the first times I met you, Steve, you said to me, Rebecca, what could go wrong? Really now, seriously, what could go wrong? And it was such a lovely thing to say to me, because I was anxious about my new role, and you were just saying, like, what if? And I said, but I'm worried about the people. You're going, but what can go wrong?
Yeah.
I just thought that was really nice. You make a very good counsellor.
Oh, God.
I think writing's probably more exciting, but...
I don't know. It's not as glamorous as people think it is. It's just a lot of sheets of paper left around the house for me, anyway.
Yeah.
That's what it is. We should open up a writer's cleaning company, because we just, that's what we end up doing, is just kind of like just doing everything but write, you know. But it's sheets of paper all over the house for me.
Do you know what I loved about the play? And I don't want to give anything away, but what I did love about it was the fact that, can I say that he was studying as a mature student. I thought that was brilliant, because all those doubts, because I've recently, as you know, done a degree as a mature student.
Yeah.
And all the doubts in his head, and also the fact that his degree was a drama degree. Because you have this, a lot of people, not maybe not a lot of people associated with the radio station or will be listening right now, but some people just do not understand drama. They really don't. They sort of think that it's a hobby, that it's not a serious outlet, that it is. I just thought that was really clever, the way you put that in, because you yourself have studied drama.
Yeah, I've done acting, and it's like people are always saying, like, you're still at the acting. How's the acting going for you? And you get there one day, and it's kind of saying, no, I'm there now. It's just I'm enjoying it, or maybe it goes on hold. And
they expect you to reach kind of levels or something, or get percentage points. It's odd.
It is, and the first question they'll ask is, have I seen you in anything?
Yes.
And it's like, you're, no. And then the next
not
one is,
yet.
How do you remember all your lines? And it's like, I just learned them. You know?
Do you know what someone said to me? It was actually my ex-brother-in-law. He said to me, Rebecca, how do you study acting?
Yeah.
It's like, it's completely different.
But it is, though. It is bizarre, because I was always like, what is it? And then you think it's this and that, and you think it's like, you look at the fame side of things. I had a friend who said, you've great charisma, you should be an actor. And I was like, oh, cool. You'd be like, yeah, this. And I was like, oh, you know, and I had that side of things.
Yeah.
And like, then I realised, when I start to study it and understand what really matters in dramatic elements, and it's just basically down to the bare, like, humanity of it, and it's like the connection between people. And then that's when I start to write as well. I was like, right, like, acting for me, I'm like, yeah, I like it, but writing is, It's the only time I'm doing something and I feel like I shouldn't be doing anything else.
Wow.
It's when I'm writing and it's like the phone will go off, or if I'll just get up and leave, then I have to go. It's one or the other, do you know what I mean? There's no like, you just kind of, as I was saying to you earlier on, actually, it's like, if I get the idea, I write it down. And if I literally cannot stop, the idea is there and I'll continue with. Then when I get that time to write, I will just continue writing, 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 writing. You have to say to people, sorry, I'm actually, it's not like I'm busy, but it's like I'm just, this is what I need to do now. And they understand, people understand, you know, people are, especially when it comes to art, there's people that are like, that's just a bit of writing, or you're just painting, or, you know. But there's people out there, the people that matter to you, they kind of say, okay, no, he's writing, or he's learning lines or stuff like that, you know. And you get the time, you make the time for it.
Have you put forward for any awards? Because I would see Noel as being deserving of an award.
Oh, thanks very much. I just think I've won the award there, Rebecca.
Yeah.
That'll do me. No, I haven't. To be honest, I don't want that. I just want people to see it, and I want to, hopefully they can take something home from it. We'd people opening up after this. Like,
oh.
A man came up to myself and the director, Shane Collender, who's just doing an amazing job, and he said, sorry, lads, I had to walk away there for a few minutes. And I was like, what do you mean? And he goes, I was like, it's very hot in there, isn't it? You know, because during the heatwave, people came and saw it, you know. And
But it's nice and cool actually in the building.
Yeah,
it is.
It's a lovely venue like that. But beautiful. I said to him, he's like, I was crying. Have you been following me around for the past few years? And I said, I'm sorry, have I upset you? And he says, just this play, it, you know, like, I felt like that was me up there. And I just want to thank you. And for me, I was like, well, if anything, the job is done, you know. And for me, I was like, well, yeah, the job is done, but if we can get that on a bigger level and to other people, like, it's funny because I wrote the play, I'm like, oh, it's just a play, but now I'm starting to realise there's an importance to this.
There's such an important
especially in
message
society today.
There really is.
And it's the main character's a man, and it's because I just wrote it, I'm writing dialogue, and it's not aimed just towards men, but because it does have that tip on its mental health, it is depression, it's anxiety, and we live in a day and age now where we are speaking about it.
Yeah.
We are talking about it, and it's the message I want to, I don't want to get a message across as well at the same time, but it's kind of like people to say, like, it's okay not
it's
to
okay.
be okay, as people are saying.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, we're all suffering. We are all, right now, in like every 7 seconds we go into our brain and say, oh, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
So we're all doing it, and it's, you know, and it's like you're juggling constantly, like, and it's like, but I want people to know, chaos, that's just the human brain, you know, and it's okay to be chaotic, but if you can learn to, you can't control chaos, but if you can learn to channel it,
yes,
and say, no, you've only, people tend to think like, oh, I'm too much going on in my mind. It's like, no, you're one person, it's your voice. What they're saying mightn't be relevant now, but it might matter. But the past is gone, so stop thinking about it. The present hasn't happened, just live now kind of thing. So control your person, and that's what the play is about. Yeah, the voices keep telling me things, but I need to say when it's right to listen to them. You know, and that's what I want people to realise.
Yeah, you know? I think a lot of people rely very much on drugs and alcohol because it makes them relax. Maybe it doesn't stop it stops his voices to some degree.
Yeah.
And that's why people run. I certainly find running, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, running.
Really, yeah.
Kind of clears your head as well.
But the drugs and alcohol works for a moment.
You see,
like a
and
moment,
then
and then the voice gets louder the next day.
It gets, this is the thing,
unbearable.
With a hangover, it's unbearable. And I don't want to, again, say too much about the play, but you go into that a little bit.
Yeah, you see it, and it's almost like that fear. The fear that tells you,
and
it's beating you up, and it's beating you up, and then you say, do you know what? I'm going to spar back. I'm going to jab back. I'm going to throw a few punches back. But you have to decide. There's no point in fighting. It's just end the match. It's me now. I won, and I don't want to hear the referee's decision or this guy's decision. It's my decision I'm making to say, yeah, I might be suffering. It's not that you're suffering. You have a choice to suffer, or you have to, you know, you can be in pain. Express the pain. That's the choice. Express the fact that you're in pain. Suffering is not expressing, and you're suffering, and you'll just suffer. That's, you know.
So do you think it's important for people to have a big rant every so often?
Oh yeah, God, just let it all out. Snots, tears, everything, just go hell for leather.
I think so, yeah.
But like in a healthy way, you know, like if you want to punch a punching bag, or for me personally, it's writing something down. there's bits of paper, and my girlfriend had found them in my bedroom, just lying there, and she's like, Jesus Christ, who is that about? And I'm like, it's nothing. It's just that vent that I needed to get out, you know? And it's, or just even talking to someone. What I've noticed lately is people, I'm probably just rambling on, but it's,
no,
people say, oh, especially when young people and older people commit suicide, it's like, oh, you could have talked to me. And it's like, oh no, they've tried. It's like you're reaching out for this transparent hand, you know. People are always saying, oh, we're here to listen, but most people are just listening for a reply, to reply, sorry, yeah. You know, and it's like, rather than just saying, okay, just let's just listen to this person and not give them any advice, because most, 9 times out of 10, someone who's really suffering, they just want to be heard rather than advised on something mm-hmm. that the other person may or may not know anything about. It's like, do you know what, that person didn't, they just listened. And mm-hmm. for me, like, that's a big thing, someone listening or having a cry with someone, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Life is just so busy, isn't it, as well. I think that people get very overwhelmed by everything they have to do and the achievements they feel they are expected. I said that in inverted commas, to achieve during their lifetime. Whereas really, it's more important to be surrounded by the people that you love and care for and to have a good time without hurting anybody and without letting these demons get inside your head too much.
Yeah, that's it really, isn't it? Like, and it, you know, it's just, I mean, you're going to hurt people as well, and like you might mean yes. to be hurting people, but that's just going to happen. But it's good to be surrounded by people mm. and that's what I'm blessed with, the play. The, mm-hmm. The actor and the, we have a guy, Stephen O'Loughlin, he designed the sound, and it's just like, it's literally tailored to the
it's
play.
It's fantastic, the sound.
And it's just, these are all like-minded people around, and they see the, like, it's about mental health, and they want to mm-hmm. spread the word, and they want to just, and as you said, there's a bit of comedy, like Harold Clurman, he was an American director, and he talks about the truth. He said it's like castor oil. It's hard on the taste buds. It doesn't taste great. So what you do is you make people laugh mm-hmm. and when their mouth's wide open, laugh and shove it down their throat. That's like the truth. You just mm-hmm. have to, if they're laughing, especially with Irish people, I can get across to people, like, if I'm having, you know, have the banter, have a bit of crack, and then just load it on them. And they're a bit lightened up and they're like, geez, that was deep, but I can take it now because it's like, you know, I had a laugh. And it's just an Irish thing, you know? That's what we do.
Stephen, we could talk to you all night, but unfortunately we can't because the show, we've a few other things to do with the show. So just again, for people who want to go and see you, it's the 18th and 19th of July in the Sean O'Casey Theatre, and they can book tickets through yourself.
Yeah, if you go onto my Instagram, or if you at the Dublin Writer, or Feral House Productions.
Feral House Productions.
Yeah,
brilliant.
Feral House Productions on Facebook. 18th, okay. 19th July, Sean O'Casey okay. Theatre.
And then you're in the Galway Fringe Festival, 26th till the 28th of July. And where is that again?
Columban Hall. You'll get tickets on the Galway Fringe.
Galway Fringe for yeah. that. Okay. Well, Stephen, congratulations. It's fabulous work. Wish you all the best for your next projects. I think this one is really worth seeing, and it certainly made me go home and think about it. I'm still thinking about it. There's bits of the play that keep coming into my head. And well done to you. Thank you very much. Steve McGuire, playwright and actor.